I had to hold myself to keep from joining this church myself. You didn't call my name, but I almost got in line. I believe if the Apostle Paul was to visit Baton Rouge, he'd want to get in. Hallelujah. What a day, what a day to have church. Glad you're here today, and we're in old-fashioned camp meeting revival. Thank God for it. Who said the day of revival's over? Yes, sir, I'm believing God for great things. We're enjoying what God is doing night after night. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I told you last Sunday, I think I feel like the little flea in the elephant's ear. When he went across the bridge, we're really shaking this thing. Amen. I just feel like I'm in company with a group that's ready to do something for God. Not only is this church reaching this city for God, but it's going around the world with the gospel. I know of no ministry that is more deserving of our prayer, our support, our love, and our appreciation than what God's doing right here. Hallelujah! And I give God glory for all that He's done. Praise the Lamb forever. I'll get right to the message, for time will be in essence this morning. I'll watch the watch if you'll watch me. Trust me, friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day. I don't mind you looking at your watch. Go ahead and look. But when you start shaking it like it stopped, that's when it'll bother me. If you have your Bibles, we'll share the reading of God's holy word. In the 14th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and I share just a little brief reading from that chapter, so we could get the gist of the lesson. My scripture reading would be so lengthy, I'm going to just read the very gist of the text. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse number 13. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And I read just a little farther over that great prophet Jeremiah said, but they tell you lies. Jeremiah 15, verse number 4. Just one page over. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. Turn with me to the lamentations of Jeremiah, the sobbing of a prophet. Lamentations, the next book over. It's rightly named. It's the cry, the sobbing, the heartbreak of a man of God. Jeremiah weeps, and I wish I could read the whole book. I've read it over and over and over and over. But let me take you through it just quickly. Chapter 1, verse 8. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she's removed. And all that honor her despise her, because they've seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth, and it turneth backwards. Chapter number 2, and let's read just a word. In the 14th verse of the second chapter. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things. For thee, they've not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. Verse number 20. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit and the children of a span? Shall the priest and the prophets be slain in the sanctuary? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets, and my virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger, and thou hast killed them, not pitied. Chapter 3, verse number 8, and when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Verse 49, mine eye trickleth down, and ceaseth not without intercession, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Chapter number 4. How is the gold, verse 1, become dim? How's the most fine gold and the chain stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of the street, every street? The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers? The work of the potter's hand. Even the sea monster draw out the breast, and they give suck to the young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the suckling child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. Children asketh bread, and no man breaketh it to them. They that did feed delicately are in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghill. But the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. It was overthrown in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, and their polishing was of sapphire. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They're not known in the street. Their skin cleaveth to their bones, and it's withered and become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that are slain with hunger. These pine away, stricken through for want of the fields, and the hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people, my people. Verse 13, for the sins of her prophets and the iniquity of their priest that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her, they've wandered as blind men in the streets, and they polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garments. Chapter 5. And I conclude my reading with one little verse. Our fathers have sinned and are not. They're gone. And we have borne their iniquities. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this gathering today in the name of the Lord. I thank you for the holy word of God. I ask for divine revelation, for holy unction again. Lord, would you quicken us anew with the Holy Spirit of God? Let this be the greatest day in the sanctuary. I pray that you'll reach out to everyone that's listening by radio. May the Spirit of God make the truth so plain and so glorious, till hearts will be touched, lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. What a startling scripture! Paul the Apostle puts it this way: be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The wise man pinned it and said, they've sown to the wind, and they reap in the whirlwind. Paul writes again to the Romans and says the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life. There is no such thing as sinning and not reaping. Men are not wise enough, rich enough, smart enough, big enough to avoid the judgment of God against sin. For God said, I will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. God Almighty is just and holy. And I thrill every time I read the scripture when the critics said some of the greatest things about him. When the Pharisees stood that day and said, this man receiveth sinners. I had a camp meeting spell. Because I want to shout it, he does. But sir, sin brings a blight of judgment, of eternal retribution that's beyond what I can explain. Let's hurry to our text. Jeremiah was that weeping prophet that God sent to Judah. Israel, the sister nation, had already gone into captivity. And I see this weeping prophet with tears streaming down his cheeks, crying, oh, Judah, return unto your God. Repent of your waywardness and your sin, for judgment is pending if you fail to return. Backsliding is not even mentioned in your Bible till you get to this book. And we find it 13 times in the book of Jeremiah. Return unto me and I'll return unto you. Come back home, Judah. Turn from your idolatry. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wickedness. Come back to God. Jeremiah walks the street of Judah and says, oh, Judah, judgment is coming if you fail to repent. But the Johnny-come-lately prophets, the milquetoast prophets in that day, were prophesying peace and prosperity, and all is well, and God is so good. He will not punish you. In fact, the false prophet stood and said, this man has told you wrong. You will not go into Babylon. You will not be judged. And while the false prophets were persuading the crowd, Jeremiah was weeping and saying, yea, the prophets have spoken lies. Judgment will come. God will judge sin. And while Jeremiah was held in derision, he was the most despised man of that hour. And I'm praying, God, give us true men of God and prophets and evangelists that will declare the whole counsel of God and tell this generation the truth just one more time. Give us another Jimmy Swagger that will preach Jesus Christ and His truth and righteousness from pole to pole. We need a revival of God-called, Holy Ghost-baptized, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-led preachers that'll declare again that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and is the righteousness of God. But He demands holy purity within our lives and without. Hallelujah. Now Jeremiah sobs and weeps, and I hear him saying, the sun is going down while it is yet day. I heard him weep again and say, oh, Judah, if you just knew the tragedy that was coming. But his peers mocked him. They made fun of him. They thought he was a fool. They thought he was a madman. Sir, you're not a madman if you're telling this generation you can't get by with sinning. Sin will bring you into judgment. It'll wreck your home. It'll wreck your life. It'll wreck your morals. It'll wreck your nation. It'll wreck your schools. It'll wreck your family. But I found the remedy for sin. Oh, you can come to the fountain. He will forgive your sin. It's high time to repent and call on Jesus Christ. Now I hear the prophet's voice ringing clear while they hate him. He would never been elected president of the Ministerial Alliance. he would have never been asked to preach at general council. He would have never been accepted by the crowd. They were wanting a little lovey-dovey service. They were wanting somebody to prophesy peace. And he said, you've done a little good, all right. You cried peace when there was no peace. And you've healed them slightly. They feel a little better when the TV goes off. But you haven't done them justice. Somebody needs to lift their voice and say, he that sinneth is of the devil. Somebody needs to declare to this generation, all unrighteousness is sin. Amen. Somebody needs to preach one more time. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Somebody needs to say again, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. While we've warned men of their sin, I can shout it from the housetop. He's willing and just to forgive us our sin if we'll just confess it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been getting a few amens out of the cheap seats. I want you folks up there to say amen once. Especially you from Oklahoma. That's where I discovered America. Amen. The reason I was born there, I wanted to be close to my mother when it happened. Can I challenge you? Now Jeremiah, that prophet who was a killjoy for the modernists. And we're in a world today that's trying to find a substitute for real old-fashioned repentance. Calvary in many areas is outdated. And while people are trying to build recreation centers and satisfy a little flimsy crowd, the world is on a toboggan slide, lost and on its way to hell. And somebody needs to say, come back to God. Let's find an altar. I can tell you now, the cold, dead church doesn't have the answer. Dr. Sounding Brass with his little pulpit cliches hasn't got the answer. But there is an answer. Hallelujah. Calvary's bleeding lamb has the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get disturbed when I see these three-carat, pin-whiskered, animated question marks. They're trying to satisfy the crowd, tickle their ears, and bring some kind of a little rejoicing. Sure, you'll rejoice when your sins are forgiven. But it's high time we had a revival. They'll call dads back to repentance. We'll build family altars, establish righteousness, shun the very appearance of evil, love God with all of our heart, build camp meeting revivals, reach the world with Jesus. We have the message shouted from the housetop. He is a Savior. Here it is. Jeremiah was that prophet that lived to see his message fulfilled. Much of what Jeremiah said, he lived to see it. Not many prophets in the Old Testament lived to see their message fulfilled. But Jeremiah saw Judah carried into captivity. Jeremiah lived to see his very message come to pass. And they carried away the young men. Men that were men of war, men that could labor. They carried away the young maidens, many of them, and abused them in Babylonia's captivity. They carried away their wealth. They drove their cattle, their herds, their flocks. And Jeremiah was left behind with the lame and the halt and the poor and the starving. And that's when he rewrites the book of Lamentations. And now I can see the prophet weeping more than ever before as he walks the streets and he sees people starving to death, which had been the church. He saw people lying in the gutter and crying. Little children were begging for bread and no man break it to them. Fathers said lay and were dying and their skin cleaveth to their bones. Sir, sin is a terrible taskmaster. Sin has a terrible payday. The wages of sin is death. Yes, sir. The homosexual crowd can tell you today that the age is a terrible payday for immoral and breaking living and breaking God's law. Amen? Sir, children that are left today to the world and the devil, and nobody cares for them. They're adrift in an ocean of people, and nobody cares, is the result of broken homes and adultery and lives and marriage vows being broken. Can I plead with you, America, Pentecostals, whoever you may be, let's return to God Almighty and seek His face, for the only answer is not in Washington, D.C. It will not be the Republicans or the Democrats that will bring it out. It's an old-fashioned revival meeting that will return to our churches, and godly preachers will preach righteousness and truth just one more time. Jeremiah walks the street and I see him crying and seeing children lying without any bread. He said, God, how could it be? How could it be? Our prophets have spoken lies. They spoke peace when there was no peace. They promised him prosperity and there was no prosperity. And sir, I do not care who promises you what. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There is no lasting peace to the man that's left God out of his life. Trouble and sorrow and heartache, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And now, here's Jeremiah puts the blame, and who's to blame? Number one, he pins it on Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, reigned in Judah 55 long years. And in his early days, Manasseh departed from God, left God out of his life. Sir, if you leave God out of your home, I can tell you now you're headed for trouble. Your children will break your heart. Your family will be divided. The real answer to the ills of this society is mothers and dads that will return to a family altar and give God a chance at their lives. I can see it now when he blamed Manasseh. Manasseh was the leader, the king in Judah. And he led a nation away from God. And it's a lot easier to lead them away from God than it is back to God. Now I see him take a nation with him on a toboggan slide for judgment. Manasseh, in his years, rejected God Almighty in his reign. And the book said God sent prophets to warn them. But he didn't heed the prophets. He didn't hear the call to repentance. And then God used another means. He sent affliction upon him. And I'm asking God this morning, send trouble, send whatever it takes, but don't let me go to hell. Lord, send affliction, send sorrow, send suffering, whatever it takes to wake us up, Lord, let us come back to you. And sorrow came, and the book said, in his affliction, he sought God. How many have found him in the midst of the storm? Sir, if you find Jesus in the storm, you ought to thank God for the storm, friends. Amen. There's a many a dad that never shed a tear or never prayed a prayer till they shed it over the little darling of their life, their little son, and stood by a casket and tears dropped off into that casket and promised God, God, I'll live for you. If God has to carry a lamb home so he can take the sheep, Lord, let your will be done. Whatever it takes to wake us up, wake up today. It's high time to seek God. It's high time to turn to God. In his affliction, he sought him. And God heard his cry. It thrills me. A wasted years. Years spent in sin. He even became so vile. He offered his sons in the fire. He worshiped devils. He departed from God. But when he turned to God, I want to shout it, God heard his cry. Can I shout it across this audience this morning? If you'll just come home, you may have wandered far, you may have wasted years, you may have drank the bottle dry, Your home may be in shambles, but I know one who is the restorer. I know one that can bind up the brokenhearted. He can come and liberate you from the bondages of the past. He's the forgiver of our sin. He's the healer of our soul. He's the healer of our body. We can shout it to the housetop. Whosoever will, let him come. Sir, Manasseh got back to God, and he became a fanatic. Became a fanatic now. He passed a law that all Judah would return to God. Only God will be worshipped. But it was too late. He'd led a nation into sin. So when God got ready to point his finger at who's to blame, he said, Manasseh, your leader, led you into sin. I know Manasseh's back right. I know Manasseh's come home. I know Manasseh's repented. But it was too late. Can I plead with you, young people? Remember God in the days of your youth. You can save yourself of many a sorrow. You can save yourself of many a heartache. Oh, what a privilege it is to see teenagers. Last Wednesday night, about 700 teenagers poured down out of that balcony and walked down and knelt at this altar. And I had shouting camp meetings fail. I said, God, if we can reach the youth of this land, if revival will break out inside of the school, if God will come and change lives while they're young, we can save them from the pitfalls of the wicked. We can save them from the snare of the fowler. Manasseh couldn't undo his past. Now God will forgive your sin, but there's some things you can't undo. See, God forgives sin, but it doesn't change the wild oats you've sowed to wheat. There's many a family today that's back right with God. They're back home. They're righteous now and they're saved. But their children they left in the world because they took them in the ways of sin. A son told me, said, my dad was the first one to give me a drink of liquor. My father gave me my first set of dice. He taught me how to gamble. My father was the one that I heard the first curse words from. It's something to be raised by an old-fashioned, God-fearing mother and dad. Dad, you can't give your son any better than a Christian example. I can tell you now, if you're worried about giving your son a car for graduation, show him what a Christian's like, what a man's like, what a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian's like, and you'll give him more than a graduation present. You'll show him something real. Mom, you can't give your family any better than an old-fashioned praying mother with stained tears on her face, praying and seeking God that will teach her daughter modesty and decency and godliness and purity and righteousness and truth in a corrupt world. Give us mothers that will pray, mothers that will read their Bible, mothers that know God, and I'll change a nation for God. That's where the real secret is. Wake up, America. Wake up today. Let's come back to God. Manasseh died with his faith anchored in God. But God pointed his finger at him and said, you're the blame. There's many a man today in prison that's saved, but it doesn't unlock the door. Say amen. There's many a man that's stained our altars with tears, but it hasn't brought his family back. His wife is gone. His home is in shambles. His children are left adrift in the world. And a dad, I was preaching a revival meeting in Texas. We had testimony one night, and a gray-haired man stood up, and he had just told me the night before. I visited with him just a minute as I came in the door. He said, Brother Brankel, this reminds me of the revival I was in when I was a young man. My children were babies. They put up a brush arbor west of this town, 8 miles. And I turned God down. I walked out and didn't get saved in that meeting. He said, I've always regretted it. That night when we had testimony service, he stood up and said, folks, I want to thank God. I found that salvation. I turned down in that brush arbor. And I slipped around to him after church and I said, Dad, I thank God he saved you, but you didn't find what you could have found in that brush arbor. I said, you didn't find what you could have found out there when your boys were babies. You told me you had three sons. One of them is an alcoholic. Another one is serving in Huntsville Penitentiary. And the other one you haven't heard from in 4 years. Sir, that salvation you could have gotten in that brush arbor could have had that wayward boy. It could have had that alcoholic. It could have that boy that's away from God. Sir, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's run to God for refuge. Today is the day when He's calling you. Who's to blame? Number one, the prophets have failed to preach it. I can blame this generation, and the condition of our church world is on Mickey Mouse church worship. Give us old-fashioned worship like we're having at Family Worship Center. Give us another revival that'll break out where people weep and cry and pray, and we'll see a difference in Baton Rouge and the entire vicinity. Say amen. God forgive the church that's found a form of godliness that preaches to tickle the ears and satisfy the heart and leave men in their sins and leave men in alcoholics and wrecked homes. I can tell you now, He'll change your life. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Let's preach it, preachers. Let's tell it to the world. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. If God would just give us 100 Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost baptized that had a backbone like a crowbar, that would not be bought off with the crowd, that cannot be manipulated by peer pressure, but would stand in their pulpits and just declare the righteousness of God, preach Calvary again, get off of some of these little cheap tricks, and let's get back and have church. A revival in our land is the need of the hour. Say amen. I'm not blaming members, brother. You go to church and it's cold as kraut. Say amen. You'll take pneumonia spiritually if you stayed in the dead dry thing. If three people said amen, it'd be a mighty revival. The preacher could preach an hour and a half on a gallon bucket. Would somebody wake up and let's have another revival? Give us men that fear God, love righteousness, and preach truth to this wicked generation. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's going to take more than saying you can make it to make it. You're going to have to get right with God. You can't make it if you are wicked and ungodly reprobate. You won't make it. You folks in the cheap seats, it's time for you to say amen again up there. I'm feeling it in my bones. Woo! I won't stop and shout a while. I'm so tired playing church. I'm in churches where the choir render a number. The only thing we knew how to render when I was a kid was Lord. Would somebody just get back and let the Holy Ghost fall on the choir to where they'll not be able to get through singing? Let something happen that's not on the bulletin. Let something happen that's not already pre-planned. Give us a revival that steps over the cross. Among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! If we could just get the preacher saved, we'd have a revival in our land. Oh, glory to God. Dear Lord, hallelujah. God, give us preachers. When I got saved, the old preacher I got saved under, he didn't talk like he liked me every Sunday. He told that whole crowd how I was living. Told the whole bunch how I was acting. Give it again. Who's to blame? Number one, false prophets in our land. Can I plead with you today? Our society is not rich because the church has become a lukewarm organization. And there's more fire in the kitchen than there's been in the altar in 20 years. More enthusiasm at the bingo party than there is in the altar of repentance. God of heaven, wake us up. Give us men that will not be influenced by this society. Praise the Lord. We love you. Praise the Lord. You little honey. I didn't come in under that kind. I came in under repent or else. Say amen. Get right. Come down. There's an Okie got loose. Can I shout it? This thing's real. The leadership of our land. Wouldn't it be something if men that claim to be born again Christian in high places would just come out and show their colors and tell the Supreme Court and the legislators and the senators, I'm a child of God. I still believe in prayer, even in the school. I'm against abortion. I'm against sin. I'll stand for God Almighty. I'm ready to take my stand for God. A real diplomat, they tell me, is one that can juggle a hot potato till it cools off. And we're in a political arena of juggling hot potatoes till it cools off. And there's a lot of them that think we Pentecostals and we full gospels will settle down after a while. They don't know. We're just now getting our steam. We're ready to take our stand against gambling. We're ready to take our stand against ungodly living. We're going to name adultery. We're going to preach against unrighteousness. Roll up your sleeves. We're on the march. Hallelujah. Jimmy Swagger, thank God. Thank God it's real. Who's to blame? Number one, the leadership of the land. Number two, the false prophets that have spoken lies and promised good times and better times and cried peace. Promised you a week's vacation rather than a revival of repentance. It's a coming on me now. I'm about to say something. I'm away. Holding back all I can now. I've got a hold of the reins. Dear Lord, would somebody wake up? I am so tired of sick, little anemic talk shows that's calling themselves Christian and an answer to this society. It is not the answer. It's old-fashioned. God called preachers that'll cry out against sin. My God, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Woo!
Stand up there. Glory to God, it's real. Hallelujah. We want a revival. The need of this hour is not entertainment. There's a place, I guess, for puppets over in Children's Church somewhere, but dear Lord, they've got in the pulpit. Say amen. And the difference between a puppet and a prophet, a puppet's got strings attached, but you can't string attach a prophet. He'll cry in the wilderness. My heart cries. There's a way back to God. It's the old-fashioned. I heard Jeremiah say, return. Jeremiah walked the streets and saw the judgment. Sir, we're going to reap this weak, watered-down religion. The Pentecostal church, I can tell you, sir, is going to reap in the whirlwind the removing of their altars and the quitting naming sin. And now I see it. Not only that, but he said, our mothers have become cruel like the ostrich in the wilderness. Can I talk to you a little while, mothers? There's something more valuable than early American furniture in every room in your house. And that's to get your family into heaven. What are your children listening to? Has your children heard you pray? Do they know right from wrong? Have they seen an old-fashioned example? Have they seen some motherhood? Or have they seen a skimpy dress flapper? Oh, I wish you'd say it one more time. Well, I want to challenge you. The mothers have become cruel. And I wondered what he meant, like the ostrich. And then I read in, what is it, the book of Job? He said, the ostrich layeth her egg, hideth it in the dust, and leaveth it, and forgetteth it. Forgetteth that the foot of the wild beast may crush it. Depends on somebody else to raise her young. Hallelujah. Can I plead with you, Mom? Can I plead with you, mothers? There's not a Sunday school teacher. There's not a class teacher can do what you can do. God wants you. Godly mother. We're worried about prayer in the school, and I'm concerned about it too. But sir, what's bothering me is not prayer in the home. It's not what they're doing at the schoolhouse. It's what's happening inside of the home, where Christ is honored, where the Bible is read. I never heard it said in my house when I was growing up, are we going to church tonight? We never heard those words. I just knew if they was going to have meeting, we was going. I'd say, Dad, I got test. He said, you ought to got it when you got in. We're going. It's real. Sir, I can tell you now, it's high time we have a revival that brings back motherhood and Christian principles to the mothers in our home. You're more than a mademoiselle girl. You're an influence for this society. And I'm closing. Can I tell you? Our fathers have sinned. And they're not. And we're reaping what they sowed. There's some things you can't undo. Your Bible says it. Esau sold his birthright. And afterward, he sought carefully with tears, but found no place for repentance. It doesn't mean God wouldn't forgive him for selling his birthright. it means you can't buy some things back. Am I right? I was in Arizona in a meeting, and the pastor's phone rang, and it said, young man said, would you come to the prison? And the pastor went. He said, my mother and dad didn't like something that's happening in church. And they took me out of church. We bought a ski boat. We went to this. My brother and I got in with the wrong crowd, and I got on drugs. We experimented first with a beer blast, and then alcohol, and then finally drugs. And I'm here for murder and for rape. He said, preacher, I know it's too late now. It's too late now. It's too late now. I know you can't do anything, and I'm in here, and I guess I'll never see a free day. But I needed somebody that I could talk to. I used to be in church. I know what it is. Said, Mom and Dad are back in church now. Sir, in the day of judgment, I'd just about as soon stand in the shoes of the boy as I would the mother and dad that took him out of church. It's a sad day when our fathers have sinned and are not, and we're reaping what they sow. I could go through the Bible. I could show you from Genesis to Revelation, chapter after chapter after chapter, where the wasn't anything to see it a few years ago. Some hippie, high on drugs, he and a girl, may not have been his wife, with holding a little baby, staring into the sun with sunglasses, and a little helpless child, not clean, not changed, never asked to come into an environment like that. That child can't help it. This morning on 2020 or somebody's 20, I don't know what it was. The TV was on, and they showed little babies in the crib, hooked on cocaine, crying. That's what our brother was praying about. Our doctor in Texarkana, one of our best doctors for expectant mothers, will not take a case now, will not accept not one mother if she smokes cigarettes. He said every time she takes a puff, that child flinches and draws up inside of her womb. Child comes into the world and has to reach up to some flip who has nicotine-stained fingers, that's raised in a home where they're more concerned about a party and a beer blast and a night on the town than they are the welfare of that child. Who's the blame? Who's the blame, can I ask you? Sir, we have a generation today, this morning they said on that program, the child's mind is mentally affected because of the cocaine and the drugs. The little child goes to school and he's a reject. He can't learn as fast. Who's the blame? Our fathers have sinned. Our mothers have sinned. Jeremiah said, Manasseh's dead. Our fathers have died and they're gone. But we're reaping what they sowed. Sir, we saw a rebellion break out in the 60s in America like we've never seen. They burned our flags, destroyed our public buildings, and demonstrated against society. But it was a result of a broken home that went to work in the defense factories and produced a generation that were left to themselves. The best thing you can give your family is a righteous, godly example. Can I plead with you, Dad? Can I plead with you, Mother? Whatever you do, let your children see you walk the aisle and kneel at an old-fashioned altar and not be ashamed. You may be a man on the job. You may be tough there. But if you're mousy when it comes to the things of God, you've lost your family. Give us some young men that can walk up and say, that's my dad. He taught me righteousness. My old-fashioned dad's still living today, and he'll be 92 years old. But if I could visit in his home this morning, and there wasn't anybody left there, my family's all gone, he lives alone. But if you could have stepped in when he offered thanks for the food this morning, you'd have thought he's having church. There never was a day I never went to church. There never was a night of revival we didn't go. The things of God were more important. I saw my dad when we farmed wheat, and we'd worked all year to get that wheat crop in. And we said, come Wednesday night prayer meeting. Wednesday night prayer meeting. And there would be predicted thunderstorms and one hailstorm. Some of you wheat farmers know will wipe you clear out. And I was a boy, and we'd worked all year to make a living, was barely making it. And I'd say, Dad, we can't afford. We got to get the crop in. He said, son, you forgot who we're working for. Shut her down. We're going to prayer meeting. I said, there won't be anybody there. He said, it doesn't matter. Our relationship is with God, and we're serving him, and he knows how to make all grace abound. Hallelujah. God, give us this back in the ministry. Give it back in the church. Give it in the Bible school. Wake up. Can I challenge you in the Bible school? It's more important you're faithful to God and get in this church and get the fire of God in your soul than it is to have 6 degrees. You need the Holy Ghost burning in your soul and a fresh revival. Hallelujah. I'm closing. Mother, I want to ask you, does your children know you're a born-again Christian? Dad, who's the blame? Children were laying in the street, dying by like flies, and babies were being eaten by their own mothers because they were starving to death. And it all happened because they left God out of their lives. America, you've had the greatest opportunity to know God of any nation that's ever been. It's time to come to God. Father, let mercy come like a fountain. Oh, God. Surely no dad, no mother, no young man or young maiden would want to walk out of this tabernacle without kneeling at the foot of the cross. Lord, they're coming in just a few moments down this aisle from every side. Speak to that dad.